The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. No intro music?
I don't know why, but there is no intro music playing.
Holy cow. So that's not very exciting. That's like starting a TV show and everyone just walks on set and the lights are dark.
Yeah,
anyway.
I considered hitting next, but then you'd have commercials running. You know?
Well, I don't want to do that. Well,
do I.
Welcome to everybody. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. Normally I come in with Billy Joel's My Life. I picked that song a long time ago because, one, I like it. And I don't have any paid sponsors, and I like the whole part of it being my show, so I get to do what I want. And because of that, I'm going to start with the weather like I normally do. Not sponsored by, but brought to us by my good friend Mike Krueger. As I've said many times, he is the best there is, the best there was, the best that there ever will be in the North State for weather. This is from Weather NorCal and Mike Krueger. Mike, thank you again for saying this over. It says, looks like another beautiful spring day with mainly sunny skies and highs in the mid-80s. It will actually be a tad warmer on Monday, getting close to 90 degrees. Just when you thought the warmer temperatures were here to stay, Mother Nature has plans to drop our temperatures back down to the mid-70s Tuesday and Wednesday and mid-60s by the end of the week. What about rain? There will be a chance of mountain showers starting Tuesday, and the valley may get in on it by Wednesday and Friday, just in time for the cool April night's cruise. Mike Krueger will keep following this week's trends at Weather NorCal, so keep checking in at weathernorcal.com or from the free Weather NorCal app as he irons out the details through the week. I got to tell you, I super appreciate that Mike does that, but I probably need to read it at least once before I read it live on air because there was no typos. And Mike, thank goodness, because I have seen Anchorman and Ron Burgundy, and I don't want you slipping anything in there that I probably shouldn't say. So you could get me really good if you wanted to. So thank you. I'm a little depressed as I read it, and when it says 60s by the end of the week. So with that, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of the show. I do have guests in the studio today. I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited about it. It's a different kind of excited. But again, as many of you know, I've done this show now for off and on for about, I think it's been about a year and a half. I don't think it's been quite 2 years. Maybe it's been 2 years with a little bit of a break. But this show really was started because I wanted to tell my own story, and I wanted to tell the story of people I met through my campaign in 22. And what I've realized is the media essentially is horse manure. And again, that is my opinion, not the people in the studio with me. But if anybody's going to tell my story, it's going to be me. And I want people to have a platform to get their information and their story out. So I'm going to have guests for the first part of the show. I may have Jessica from VoteBeat, who came to my coffee a couple weeks ago that I've been talking about. She's out of Dallas, so I'm not sure because she's traveling if she's going to be able to call in. But for sure, I will go over the agenda because we do have a pretty big agenda for the Board of Supervisors meeting this coming Tuesday, which is at 9 a.m. at 1450 Court Street. So with that, I'm going to jump into my first guest, I do hear the phones ringing already, and I don't know if I'll take callers. If I do take callers, it won't be till the end of the show, and that number, if you did want to call in, you can write it down now, 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. I won't take callers probably till like the last 10 minutes, if I do at all. So with me today in the office are two people that have faces not for radio. Like myself, I should be on the radio. You should never see what I look like, but I have two lovely ladies here that I met. The mother, and I'm gonna keep their anonymity by not giving their names, more because we will be talking about a minor, one individual's granddaughter and the other lady's daughter, and a situation that they've had to walk through. And I think the public deserves to know their story. Because there could be others out there like it, and I think what's important is the public is aware of what's going on in our community in terms of how safe we are. So with that, I have a grandmother who I met through my campaign in 22 and has been involved off and on, just whether it be prayer or just a kind word or a text. And then her daughter is here with me, so welcome both of you.
And thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so We haven't scripted this, and so this is the part now, I guess, not the awkward pause, but we're just going to jump in. So something happened to your daughter that required law enforcement, to intercede or to get involved. And I want you just to tell us that story. We're not going to take any commercial breaks, so take as long as you want, and this is your time. And I'll just, for just to refer to you, you'll be K and you'll be D. Okay, so D, go ahead and tell us. You're the mother of your daughter, so the floor is yours.
On August 8th, 2023, it was brought to our attention that my daughter had been sexually molested and violated by her employer for 2 years. And we went in the next day to RPD.
How old was she at the time?
She was 15.
Okay.
15 years old. We went into RPD the next day on August 9th, and he admitted to and was arrested for the assault. And it was 3 days later that he was bonded out, and nothing yet has happened.
Okay, so when you say this carried on for 2 years, and you didn't know about it.
2 months.
I'm sorry, 2 months. And this was roughly how long ago again?
It was on August 8th that we found out of 2023.
Okay, August 8th of 2023. So this went on for 2 months.
Yes.
And then you're notified, go to RPD the next day. He admits it.
He does. We sat down with the sex crime investigator, my daughter and I, and the sex crime investigator. They gave us about 6 pages of questions that to go through that they highlighted. We told them what had happened, and they asked, would my daughter be comfortable enough to have a conversation with off of these scripts with the gentleman and have it being recorded? And it took her a little bit to muster up that strength, but she did. And I listened to the man admit to what he did to my daughter.
Okay. And did you, and he was bonded out. So now the thing that was the hardest for me is he owns a restaurant on Eureka Way, which is by, I think, at least 2, if not 3 schools.
That is correct. It's La Cochina de Chuy is the name of the restaurant, and I have the address as well. But, yes, it's within walking distance to Shasta High School, UPrep, Pioneer. So three
schools. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's walking distance within 3 schools.
Yes.
So what? So, and that's been, so August of 23, we're now in April of 24. What does the court time look like to when that would come forward?
They said it could be up to 3 years is the statute of limitations. So up to 3 years.
Okay. So did they give any, have you asked or has there been any question or justification why a person can operate a business within that proximity of a school? I mean, do you know? I mean, I don't know personally.
I've asked, absolutely.
Okay.
We've asked several times because the community is not safe, and he is right next to these schools. And what they have said so far is it's taken as long as it has because the DA's office is understaffed. Then hire somebody.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's what they say. We do continue to ask, but they're busy. There's a caseload. The last communication I had was just a few weeks ago, and I asked, when will this come back up? You know, when will I hear a response? And they said, well, it could take anywhere from 3 weeks to 90 days to get a response to your email.
An email?
Mm-hmm.
They can't give a response to an email. Possibly up to 90 days.
Correct.
And again, this is something that, you know, we spoke briefly about this a couple weeks ago when you approached me about, you know, did I know that this was happening in my district? And and it's not so much about my district. It's you know, this right now, I believe in Shasta County is month of the child or child abuse prevention month. So it's troubling to me to know that somebody has admitted criminal activity with a minor and is operating a business where I'm sure minors are walking in and out of or by.
All day. Lunch is just prime picking.
Every single day. So mm-hmm. Let me ask you this too, because I know recently there's been a bill passed where medical records are proprietary to individuals 12 and up. So how has that process been for you as a mother or grandmother speaking or advocating on behalf of your daughter because she's over 12? Have you had access to records? Has it been a problem getting records? I'm just curious. Talk into the mic.
My daughter was at work and asked me if I would go down and pick up the records of what happened that day. And so they had them ready, and I went in, and they wouldn't release them to me. They said that my granddaughter, who is now 16, has to be the one to go in. And I said, but she's the victim, and she's a minor. And they said, because she's over 12, then she has to go in. And that, honestly, Kevin, that was heart-wrenching, you know, to text my granddaughter and have her meet me there and go in and do that. And we just made it more matter of fact. Let's go in, get this done. And as soon as they handed it to her, then I took it. So that, and she asked, well, what's in it? And I just didn't go into great detail because she lived it. And, but that just kind of brought that all back up again. And I don't understand the 12 thing. Yeah. Like, she's a minor. I don't understand that.
Yeah, for the DA, that's not, you know, they have to, just like sheriff's office or RPD or any agency, they have to, of course, abide by that. I think it's horrible, and I think the louder people are about that, that can possibly change with legislation over time, but that's not conducive to the situation. So let's go back. Do you know, Dee, if there's anything that... what's something the public could do, you know, to help you? I mean, do you, like, what?
Close the business down. Why is this man still operating a business in Shasta County? It makes no sense to me. Close the business down.
Yeah. I think the one thing that what will be, I think, really important for the public to know is people have to get, you know, nobody seems to, I hate to say it, this will sound a little callous, but nobody seems to care about things until it's on their doorstep. And the one thing is, if we don't let each other know in communities what's going on and what people are going through, then it just happens to somebody else. So how is your daughter doing now?
She's doing good. She, you know, she's in therapy. She goes to therapy quite a bit, you know, to deal with that. She still has nightmares. She had a nightmare the other day that she was stuck in the restaurant with Jesus and his wife, Ruth, and couldn't get out. And so it just gives her a lot of anxiety. She hates having to drive past that restaurant to and from home, you know, to work or school. It's difficult for her. And she just, at this point, wants something to be done. She wants to have a voice. You know, she wants to be important. She wants it not to happen to other girls.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and feel free not to answer. Mm-hmm. So it went on for 2 months before she said something.
Mm-hmm.
What could you tell other parents out there to prep their kids so if it even has the possibility of happening, you know, one day or any impropriety at all, to have them notify a parent or a guardian or a trusted adult advocate? What do you think the 2 months, not, you know, just what would you tell other parents, or what surprised you that it was 2 months before she felt brave enough to come forward?
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of guilt, I feel, for that, because we have a really open and good, you know, communication and relationship. But as I look back now, there were things that she was really screaming out for help, and I didn't see it. You know, and I think as parents, if we can just be open in communication with our children, if things are off too, and there were things that were just so off kilter about her personality at that time, and I didn't see it.
Do you have something?
I agree that just to be aware, keep open, even before the child goes in to take a job or into a situation, maybe to have an open discussion of what is inappropriate, not to feel like it's your fault, you didn't cause this, and but that would be about it. And don't be afraid, you know, don't be afraid. I mean, this man is 52, and she was 15.
Yeah.
And you have that person, whether it's a teacher, a pastor, you get somebody in that leadership role. It changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
So just, if we could help anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. There were two different crews. There was an arborist crew and then a concrete crew. And they would come in and he would lock the door and would let them just say anything that they wanted to. He would come out and say, oh, you guys, she's mine. You know, she's still just 15. But then all the sexual, you know, verbiage and harassment followed. And he just put her on a platter for them.
Okay. Well, oh, go ahead.
I did ask the DA's office what we could do regarding the business. Can we do it on social media? Can I make a sign out there?
You can do whatever you want with the First Amendment, right?
Can you?
Oh, yeah, you can do. I mean, the one thing I'll tell you is, you know, you have to be careful. I mean, and I'm not giving you legal advice. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that there, of course, is slander or you know, things that commit harm. But, you know, if you're truthful in what you say, you have a right to say, post, do whatever you'd like. And again, I will say that, and yet not knowing, because I don't script this. I think this is your time. And I would tell people in the community, if you go in there, realize there might be people eating there that have no idea that this has happened. And you may have employees, possibly, that have no idea that this has happened. Now, I'm not defending the person that's done this heinous stuff. I have a daughter that my oldest went to Shasta. My wife taught at Shasta. I know the kids constantly are walking from Shasta or UPrep down Eureka Way to get something to eat, to get something to drink before they go back to practice. So I'm well aware. My younger daughter goes to Foothill, but still, she has a lot of friends that go to Shasta, and they're walking up and down Eureka Way before games or after practice, etc. So it's really important people are protected. And that's and the thing about kids is, there's a million things about kids that just viscerally makes me upset about this, but I think it's important, though, that anything that you want to do to tell that story, and that's why I invited you guys to come on and tell it, because it can feel very small and isolating as members of the public when you see something so crazy going on and you feel like there's nothing you can do and you're screaming in a field and nobody's hearing you.
Right.
That's how I felt before I got into politics.
Yeah.
I felt like nobody's listening to kids and nobody's standing up for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was told that I could not picket or could not say anything because it would be considered harassment. And in this situation, my mind says, well, there was harassment in this, but it wasn't from me.
Yeah.
It was from him. But no, we've been told to not do that because it could alter the case if it goes to trial.
If it goes to trial.
If it goes to trial.
Yeah,
they continue to ask me if I've gotten, you know, a civil attorney. And I said, I don't know why I need one. Aren't you my attorney?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, see, and they're talking about civil damages and suing. And again, you just want justice for your daughter.
Yes.
And you want justice for your granddaughter. And you want this not to ever happen to another kid by this individual.
Right.
I mean, and again, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think, I mean, just because of you being on this show, I will have at least an attorney or two. There's a phone ringing now. You will have attorneys reaching out to me, not because they're looking to make a buck, but the attorneys that I know that listen to this are patriots, the people that care about this county. And they don't even live necessarily all in this county, but people are going to want to help.
And we need help because it's been stonewalled, and it's absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean that's alarming. If you know, and who told you not to pick it and stuff like that, or it could disrupt the case? Like, what was the?
I don't remember the person's name, but it was at the DA's office.
In the DA's office,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I went into the DA's office, I.
I'm sorry.
Nope.
I mean, if this happened, if there's a call that's made that this happened to another kid,
Not liable?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just it just bothers me because this is. You know, I'm all for people, you know, you are innocent until proven guilty, but if a person admits it, and then we're allowing it to operate where there's still kids coming by. And it's like, hey, you know what, if obviously there must be a legal precedent where the person can operate a business within a school, fine. but the public deserves to be able to mm-hmm. know what's going on if you have kids. And there's a lot of transient kids, transient meaning kids that are walking to school, walking by in that area of Shasta. Demographically, there's the apartments, there's houses across. That's my district. I'm very familiar with it. So anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kay.
Well, I went into the DA's office and requested a meeting to see the DA who is handling her case. And I phoned. It didn't get a response to that. So a week later, I walked in, and they said for me to basically that they wouldn't talk to me more than likely because I'm not the parent.
Which makes sense.
So then so we emailed, and they said they'll attach it. It's a generic response. Yeah, that they'll attach it to the case.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been any contact with the person representing her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and believe me, I can understand when offices, you know, they have cases and there's protocols in place where maybe something generic is sent out. But, again, this isn't about pointing fingers. This is about protecting kids who are possible victims and then making sure your daughter has justice. Is there anything else either of the two of you that would you want to share before we go to break?
No, I understand that there's protocol and, you know, there are other cases, but I just, you know, why, Casey, have you not brought this to the forefront and have done something about it? These kids are just, they're not safe.
Yeah. Well, I can promise you, what I can promise is if you want to come back and if there's updates that you want to give, we will follow this closely. You guys are both very brave coming in. I think that reaching out to me and wanting to bring this to light is not easy. Shasta County is very small. Redding's even smaller. So, you know, people will be asking, and I know this is a conversation you had with your daughter and her father about the coming forward, and if this becomes more public, because obviously her name wasn't released in the papers or any of that stuff. And this was in the paper, and this was on, I mean, this was, but if people don't know to look for it, they just see a picture, like RPD does their arrests, they put their picture up on the social media, and that's it. And maybe that makes everybody feel good that, oh, they're out there. But at the same time, someone's got to beat that drum and say, hey, there's still wrongs taking place.
Yes.
And, you know, so I appreciate both of you coming in. It's a little bit of a somber going into the break, but what's great about this is accountability is coming, and I'm going to make sure everything I can do to bring shed light on it so it doesn't happen to somebody else's child. With that, we'll take a short break, and we'll break back.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
My people love this country and we're under attack. They ban us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flag. American flag.
All right, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. I do have my guests still in here. We got quite a few calls that came in that wanted some clarification on a couple things. So we are actually, we're still with D and K, and those are just their names we're using for the show to protect the anonymity of their daughter and granddaughter. But D, go ahead, and I'll let you wrap up in the next minute with all the callers we had coming in that wanted some information. So you and K, go ahead.
Yeah, I know that there's been a couple of questions on where the establishment is or the name of it, and it's La Cochina de Chuy. The address is 2030 Eureka Way, and his name is Jesus Ramos Maldonado. And all of that was in the paper, on Facebook, but he's doing business next to Shasta High, U-Prep, Pioneer, Freedom.
Door State.
Yeah, the music school. He's right there.
So a lot of kids. Kay, did you have anything else you wanted to add at the end there?
Nope. I think that would just wrap it up. And if I could just encourage everyone to post it, get the word out. We would love to see his business shut down. Honestly, for me, imprisoned and get him off the street.
Yes.
Okay. With that, thank you both for coming in. And then I'm going to jump to our agenda. So transitioning now, and again, I will take callers towards the end of the show, and I'll just let you know, but that number right now is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. All right, so this agenda this week, if you've been able to take a look at it, it's lengthy. R1, it says, present certificates of recognition to Jerry Harrell and Danny Skippy Abbott for their decades of service to unhoused individuals in the community. I sponsored this myself. When I was running in the primary, I made a promise to Monique Willeen, who is an advocate locally for unhoused, drug-addicted, and mental health individuals. And when I say an advocate, she's just out there doing exactly what God's commanded us to do, which is just to love these individuals, feed them, and don't look past them. So Monique invited me to come out and to Mercy Canyon in Martin Luther King Park and get involved. And I'll tell you, it definitely changed my outlook on the problems that exist in the country in terms of homelessness, and more specifically in California, but then again, really directly here in Shasta County. So I spent a long time working and walking in that canyon through the campaign after elected. I start really working with Laura Birch to make some sustainable changes and do some things that we could do to improve people's lives. And two of the people that have been doing this for years, Jerry Harrell and Skippy Abbott. A lot of times you talk about the term unsung hero. These two people could care less about accolades, about certificates, about being a citizen of the year or getting some plaque or ribbon. But Monique said, Kevin, we have to honor these individuals. So, of course, I said I'd be more than happy to do it. But I said, good luck getting Jerry and Danny, or Skippy. I've never called them Danny. Good luck getting them to the boards and, you know, being okay with it. But she obviously, I think, probably told them that they were being voluntold to do it because she wants to honor them. So Councilman Mark Mazzano is actually going to come in and give a presentation or a speech about them and the work that he's done as well in Mercy Canyon. And Mark still goes, I believe, if not every Saturday, pretty close to every Saturday. And Jerry and Danny both, they spend their entire 7 days a week going from grocery store to grocery store, and picking up food that would be discarded. And again, now in the state of California, they can't just throw it out. So Jerry and Danny have, I mean, this isn't like a nonprofit they're running. This is just their own gas. They spend their own money. And if you've seen Skippy's little white truck, little pickup, he'll have music playing, kind of like an ice cream, you know, truck, but he's got a huge cross in the back, and he pulls up to various sites throughout the week and gives out, I don't know, tens, I don't want to say hundreds of thousands of pounds of food, but easily tens of thousands of pounds of food a year. So they're going to be recognized on Tuesday, and it's going to be the very, very first thing we do after the prayer and the pledge. R2, we have our legislative updates and then our supervisor reports. I think that's going to be something that, again, I look forward to those, and I like the fact we're doing that early in the meeting, because I think it's important for everybody to know what's happened the past couple weeks, so everything moving forward, we kind of tie a bow on what's been done, opposed to having it later in the meeting. R3, this is the one that I'm going to spend probably the most time on. It says, receive a presentation from the sheriff's office regarding border control and adopt a resolution regarding response and services to the abandonment of asylum seekers and non-citizen migrants in Shasta County. It says sponsored by myself as well. With that, the one thing I can't stress enough about this, and we get emails from people. There's one gentleman who speaks to the board all the time, longer hair. He comes up and rants and raves, and he never, ever, it seems, reads a staff report or even looks at what it is. He just starts to rant and rave because that's what he does. If you read this, I started this with Sheriff Johnson. We've worked on this for, I don't know, maybe about a month. And this is solely because I know, I'm very aware of the services we have here in Shasta County, how far we have to take those loaves and fishes and be able to spread them out with the people, and we're not able to accommodate the people that are already here. And I know the worst thing that could happen to people coming here, and I don't care if it's, you know, 10 extra people or 100, because we do know a bus dropped off between 75 and 100 people. From what I understand in the videos I saw, there was no women or children. It was all, you know, grown men. But we don't have enough money to help these individuals. And if these individuals need serious help, Shasta County cannot afford to help them. So I think the most insensitive thing we could do would be to pretend that we can help them. So I put forth a resolution that just said it's our response and services to the abandonment of asylum seekers and non-citizen migrants in Shasta County. The staff at the county and the staff in the sheriff's office, as well as our county council, spent a lot of time, as well as the public information officers of both agencies, the county and the sheriff's office, worked on this as well. And again, this is not about not caring about people. This is about caring about people so much that we're saying there is no help we can give those individuals here. We need to have a plan to get them out to a county that can welcome them and has the money and resources and wants to be the beacon to help everybody. And I think that's great, because if there's a county out there like San Francisco, if they want to be able and they say they can help everybody, fantastic. Shasta County can't do it. There is not the money, the infrastructure, the resources, the people that can help. And so I really, really tip my hat to Sheriff Johnson, because he went to the border a few months ago, and when him and I spoke about this and what he saw at the border, he said it wasn't a matter of if it happening in Shasta County where we start to get people coming up. He said it's when, and he was troubled by it. And again, I'm not saying that I saw like this fear in Sheriff Johnson's eyes. That wasn't it at all, but it was very matter of fact. And as a man that served in the military, albeit very, 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 very short time, cup of coffee, but having been around many combat veterans in the time that I was in, you could see a look in a person's eyes when the level of seriousness is really ratcheted up. And that's what I saw in Sheriff Johnson's eyes when he said he came back from the border, and how I'm not going to say shocked because I don't want to put a word out there, but it was very resolute. It was very like, this is not good, Kevin. This is not good. So I started thinking about this and then working on it very quickly after this, after my campaign for the recall was over, so I could focus and put more time on it. Now, in the time that this was being worked on, if you remember, up in Siskiyou County had a vehicle crash with, I believe it was 15 or 17 illegal immigrants. I believe one was killed. And when that truck or that van rolled over with all those individuals inside, it was interesting because the sheriff, myself, and CEO Dave Rickard had met that previous week. So that weekend that happens, and it was like, wow, I'm so glad we're doing this. And then, of course, this last weekend, many of you have already saw it online when the agenda came out, stuff was sent out. But we had a bus that dropped off, again, the number is between 75 and 100 individuals over by In-N-Out and Save Mart off of Churn Creek, right off the freeway there. So it's very real. It's not a matter of when or if, because now we know it is happening. And this resolution is our community's response to saying, hey, we need to be able to help people. And the resources we have are not abundant enough that we can bring people in from other communities and try and take care of them as well, because we need to take care of the people that are the most vulnerable here in Shasta County, because there's plenty of them that we're trying to help and get services to. So that resolution will be put forth to a vote this Tuesday. And we are going to start taking callers because we have had quite a few people call in. That number is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. Do we have somebody on the line already? Okay, Jenny, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi. So I was really just at church, and then I was like, oh yeah, your radio show today.
Do you have a question, Jenny?
Yeah. I was actually, I don't know if it's a question or a statement. It's more like this. I really loved your April 5th coffee. That was like really transformative in how people got along and how people were really starting to pull together. But I find that that's starting to like fade a little bit, that like togetherness despite disagreements. And I was just wondering what your plan of action is to continue that, like to continue that culture of honor, of honoring the people disagree. And
no, I appreciate that. So I'll read an email. Thank you, Jenny, for calling in. So I'll read an email here, and Jenny's referring to the coffees I do every Friday at Kaleidoscope on Athens. That's 8 a.m. At Kaleidoscope. This week, I had to actually go at 8:45, so I was only able to stay for 45 minutes. I don't know. We had between, roughly 15 to 20 people. We had to move it outside. And one thing I would tell you as well, if you're going to come on a Friday, you're not going to be there 10, 15 minutes early. You probably need to bring a lawn chair because we're going to run out. We are running out of seats. So if you want to come, I'd bring a lawn chair to be on the patio. And make sure you buy a coffee. Buy a coffee, buy an iced tea, buy a cookie, buy something. So in reference to your question, Jenny, I had an email from a person that was a very, very, very large recall supporter. She wanted to grab coffee after the recall happened, wanted to work together. I said, well, I do a community one. That's where we're going to start. Didn't know that I'd ever see this individual, and she actually came this last week. So she sent me an email, so I'll give you her, and I won't say her name just to protect her. It says, Kevin, thanks for the suggestion that I attend your Friday morning coffee. I found it very friendly and informative. It was especially notable that you reviewed the agenda for the upcoming Board of Supervisors meeting, providing more detail than is available in the printed agenda. I often am unsure what the particular interest or motivation is behind an agenda item, so your discussion is helpful. I think all your constituents could benefit from attending these Friday morning informal coffee gatherings, and I will encourage everyone interested in county issues to do so. Thank you for providing us this opportunity to understand your goals for the county. And she says in there, the very first line, I found it very friendly and informative. The one thing, Jenny, or not just Jenny, but for people that have been coming for quite some time, which Jenny has. She didn't come, or I shouldn't say obviously, but she didn't come when I was running in 22 or after I was first elected and seated in 23. But since I started it back up maybe 6-7 months ago, she's been a regular, and we have definitely had some more contentious than others, and I think that's healthy. I think what's important, though, is that people just like my two guests in here this morning, they get an opportunity to say their piece, because that's all we all really, really want. We all just really want to feel heard, and I think that's what happened during COVID is people stopped feeling heard, and the people that were, I believe, yelling the loudest oftentimes were the ones trying to advocate for kids or families. And, you know, if you want to see people really come out and get pretty upset, it's when our kids are involved, or especially, you know, moms or grandmothers, when they don't feel heard. So, yes, coffee, Jenny, is something that I'm going to keep doing. We do have to have civil discourse, but I don't think it's bad if people – I don't want to say raise their voice, but I don't think it's bad, and I know you don't either – think it's bad if people are passionate. Passion's okay, but you got to come to the table. And I have a lot of respect for the people that come out, because yet again, we had two or three new people who have not been before. And what's great is oftentimes they are not supporters. Or let's say this, they weren't supporters when they first came. Or if you'd say my name and they were hooked up to a blood pressure cuff, their blood pressure would go up. And what I found is some of the people that I've had the best conversations with, and now 100%, they are supporters, like Meredith or Valerie, people that, you know, diabolically opposed me. And now, you know, I would say they're supporters, because we're able to have those conversations. So getting back to the agenda, one of the things that we've had on here, or I've gotten a lot of phone calls about, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the people that say, hey, could you look up this agenda item, or give me more information on that agenda item. But we have, I believe it was C8. Yes, it was C8. Approve an agreement with CrowdStrike for subscription licenses and designate authority to purchase additional licenses and subscription renewals. One thing I can tell everybody that's listening, if you did message in about that item, I had a long, long email chain with Tom Schreiber, who's our chief technology officer, our CTO. Tom is an amazing guy. I'm sure he's a phenomenal fisherman, because I know he loves to fish. So I felt actually bad messaging him yesterday pretty early, knowing that he's probably out on a river or a lake. But he responded, and he spent a lot of time yesterday answering a lot of my questions. So that'll be in the board discussion a little bit, just about how – because one of the things in C8 talked about that we had to follow U.S. and non-U.S. laws. And Tom Schreiber went into quite a bit of detail and had talked about, you know, when he worked for Apple and they're working with, you know, a site in Japan, why that language is there and what happens. And I'm not going to try and articulate it right now on the radio. I just want to make sure I assure the listeners who, you know, that messaged me that I know I'm on it, I'm bringing it forth. But what I love about Tom, I mean, a lot of things. Tom's a good man. I don't even really know him at all outside of the county. I just know he loves fishing. But the, you know, he CC'd our county council, Joseph Larmer, and he said, hey, and if Joseph has a different take, I'd be completely open to hearing that. But Tom is... like many of our department heads, I mean, he'll say, like, hey, this is my opinion. This is the work that I've done. Fact check it. Do whatever you want. But ultimately, I'm here to serve, you know, the CEO, the will of the board, the people. And that's the approach he takes. And it is awesome, because you can get so much done when nobody cares who gets the credit. So, Tom, thank you so much for all your responses and the work that you did on the weekend. So it looks like we have a caller. Is Steve? Are you there? Steve, are you there?
Yeah.
Steve, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah, Kevin, number one, I really, really appreciate that the recall did not go through. You're a man of the hour as far as I'm concerned, and I follow your show and you guys down there quite a bit.
Down there, where are you? Are you Siskiyou, right?
I'm Siskiyou, yeah.
Got it.
I'm
okay.
Up here trying to working hard up here. But something came to me last week about the simplicity of getting Newsom out of office might be just the fact that he's allowing the cartels to happen in our state. He is allowing that. He's being paid by China. I don't know how we prove that, but I don't think it would be very hard to prove.
Well, hey, Steve, I'm gonna try and stick to things that...
Well, you were talking about immigration a while ago.
Exactly. So here's what I was going to say as we talk about cartels. And I know up there in Siskiyou, you guys have had a complete run of it with legal grows, how they're fined, they pick up shop, and they just move it down the road and do it again because it's easier to pay the fine and move on. And law enforcement, I know up there, I'm sure, I shouldn't say I know, I'm sure, is doing all they can. And I know as we look going into the budget season here for June, we're going to do everything we can for Sheriff Johnson to be able to eradicate legal grows and stymie many things that are happening that are not productive for the county of Shasta. And again, because you guys are a bordering county, that stuff flows over to you as well. So as it relates to Newsom and being in office, I know that there's talk of a doing the recall again, but I'm so disconnected from that. I've spoke with Mike Netter. I don't know, you know, necessarily what they're doing or have an update. I just know that I'm going to focus really hard on Shasta County. So, Steve, thank you so much.
Well, yeah. Wait, one more question.
Sure.
Was it true that you hired, or no, you were part of the action of bringing in the new DA, or was our county council that you brought in? Because I was telling
No, I was going to say DA is elected. Stephanie Bridget was elected in 22 or reelected in 22. She won her election in 22. I don't know if it was a reelection.
Uh-huh.
I think she was appointed
so
the first time.
So it wasn't
time.
The DA that
correct.
You were
but,
bringing in, right?
But Joseph Larmer, and again, I'm one vote, so, you know, it is, I will, semantically, I do want to correct anybody that says, hey, you are responsible for this. I'm not responsible for anything. I will say I'm responsible for working with the clerk of the board and CEO Dave Rickard on setting the agenda, but I'm one vote. I'm one vote, but yes,
right.
I did recruit our new county council, Joseph Larmer. And I will say...
Yeah, I followed that, and it sounds like a really good move, so appreciate that again.
Yeah, we're killing it. And one of the things I'll tell you about as we're... And, Steve, I'm gonna get ready to take another caller, so thank you for calling in, but stay on because I'm gonna talk about something else here. So as we look at the agenda, you'll see on... I think it's R... Where is it? It's right here. You'll see support services R6, adopt a resolution which waives Shasta County personnel rule, merit principles in connection with the appointment of an interim county council. So this relates to Alan Cox. You could look at the staff report. I sponsored this as well. One of the things, there's many things with our county council's office that I'm just super – yeah, I don't want to say proud of because we're not really – I mean, pride comes before the fall, so I don't like using the word proud of, but – I'm very, very thankful. I'm very, very thankful for this board majority and the county council's office and how that has been. It is an office for the people of Shasta County. The things that are happening, how fast they're happening, the transparency and the dedication to doing the right thing and working at, I mean, I would say working at a private sector pace. And I'm not saying government is slow, right? I didn't say that. And I'm smiling as I'm saying that. But the reality is when you're in the private sector and you're going home for the day, if you don't have that service or that product dialed in and it's being delivered with the highest level of customer service, and if things go sideways over time, you can find yourself out of business if you're not doing things correctly. As in government, and we all know this, and I'm not bagging on government, but it's just what it is. There's a budget, it's put out, they're going to get it the next year. And when you have an organization as large as Shasta County, accountability sometimes can be hard to come by when organizations are really, really big. And that's not me picking on Shasta County, that's me picking on anything that's being done with public funds. And I think that's what's important, is that we're accountable. Well, this county council's office now is they're crushing it. They're getting more done with less people. Now, does that mean we won't try and fill those positions? No, that's going to be up to Joseph Larmer. But that office has done a phenomenal job. And Alan as it relates to R6. He stepped up. When I approached him and said, "Hey, would you get us out of this mess with HHSA? Would you come in and captain the ship until Joseph gets here?" And he said yes. And there wasn't, "Well, let me see, you know, what you'll pay," or "Let me see what it looks like." He actually just said, you know, "Yes, buckle up, let's go." And in the private sector, you don't get that, because most of the time people say, "What's in it for me? Is there extra vacation days? Is there comp time? Is there a raise? Is there a bonus? You know, what does that look like?" And I'm not saying that's with my organization, but a lot of people, again, before they just jump in, they want to know what's in it for them. And that's not what Alan Cox did. Alan Cox said, "Let's get to work," rolled up his sleeves, and we were, you know, 6 to 8 months behind on contracts, and he caught us up with the help of some other analysts within the county. I'll just say SS, because I won't say her name, a county employee, and I just don't feel it's my place to do that. But SS really, really leaned in very, very hard with Alan and caught that up. So R6 is about honoring that and doing something for him for his service as he goes back to the role of an attorney in that office. Again, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And then on the agendas, so that's R6. And if you keep looking down, you'll see that we have quite a bit on closed session. And closed session starts with R10, and R10 goes all the way from R10 down to R15. We have a lot of closed session items, and people keep saying, "Kevin, you said you're going to be bringing as much out of closed session as you can. When's that going to happen?" And again, we are working on that. Joseph Larmer has been there, 2 weeks. It's going to take a little time, but I can promise you the closed session items. And that's another thing. One of the reasons we're taking closed session now, the way we're taking it in the part of the meeting where we are, is because now we're saving the county so much money by having scheduled closed session Zooms and engagements at certain times. That way we don't have somebody, you know, on hold for 30 minutes who's billing us, and, you know, we're eating lunch or we're doing whatever. So now we're able to intentionally schedule these things out as they should be. And the other thing about closed session is we're dealing with, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And the last thing you want to do is have this at the end of the day where everybody's punchy and tired and wants to go home. So everybody's fresh. You know, it's around 11:30 to 12. We're in it, and then we're back out. And we're going to get more of this stuff out because the public deserves to know. And there's a couple things, again, most of you know, that I've been saying. You just got to be patient. You just got to be patient. And I promise we're getting there. One of the things I want to talk about, too, that I don't know. I mean, this has nothing to do with Shasta County, and I thought about, do we do a resolution or something? And I know some of these things can just be like, you know, end up in the waste paper basket. But I'm super, super troubled by the Biden administration's basically obliteration of Title IX. If you're not familiar with that, Title IX in general, going back, you know, many years, it was basically where girls get an opportunity to compete like boys, you know, at younger ages and spots, even at, collegiately. And now the Biden administration has added the language of gender identity with Title IX. So what we're seeing here now is the federal government basically leaning in, and it will be the death of women's sports. By and large. And what really, really frustrates me are the people that are out in front leading this charge as female athletes. They're all retired, essentially, or they're at the end of their careers. I guarantee you, if the Diana Taurasi's or the Megan Rapinoe's, and Megan, you know, I trained in high school and love the family, great people, great human beings. But it bothers me because if that was allowed, there would have never been a Megan Rapinoe. There would never have been a Megan Rapinoe because, or like a Caitlin Clark. You know, if Caitlin Clark, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to watch the WNBA next year more than I'm going to watch the NBA. because I'm excited about the WNBA draft and the athletes coming out. I think Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are going to wind up being the new Bird and Magic, and this is the WNBA's opportunity to really get a foothold and do something cool. But if the Joe Biden obliteration of Title IX goes through, you're going to see all that go away. Caitlin Clark or Megan Rapinoe, they wouldn't get the ball across midfield or across half court if they're playing against men. And that's no slight on them. They're the best in the world. I mean, and I represent one of the top female basketball players in the history of the world, and Ruthie Bolton. And when I talk to her, she just chuckles at what's going on. So anyway, that's my rant about sports and about protecting young girls and their dreams of playing competitively. I love this county, and I will talk more about this at my coffee because it's something I'm going to take up as a private citizen. Shasta County, you have a great week. Hope to see you at the boards, 9 a.m., 1450 Court Street this Tuesday. Take care.